You need to make sure that your copy all over your site is written with the end user in mind and a particular end user in mind. You can't sell to everyone.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method. This time it's SEO. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Now, I love to give a little shout out sometimes at the start of the episode to listeners who are kind enough to take the time to post a review of the show. And I've got a shout out to do today. The lovely Bridget from the USA has given us a 5-star rating on Podchaser. If you've not come across Podchaser, it's an amazing directory of podcasts, well worth checking out. And Bridget has said, every episode is packed with gold. If you're looking for a podcast that will teach you everything related to marketing and e-commerce, then this is your new go-to. Thank you so much, Bridget. We really, really appreciate it. Okay, as I said, this month we're all about SEO and we are starting off with an episode about the biggest, most important thing in SEO at the moment, which is getting your content right. Super excited to have secured this speaker to take us through what's happening in content at the moment. She managed to squeeze us in between conferences in York, Las Vegas, and as I was speaking to her, she was about to get packed to go to a conference in Taiwan. Now, admittedly, that's a pretty serious carbon footprint, but I am still very, very happy that she could spare the time to chat with us, not least because she's run through, I think, two of the biggest things in content creation and SEO at the moment. One of those being the helpful content update that Google did last year. So you're going to learn how to, I guess, take advantage of it, actually, rather than try to survive it, how to take advantage of Google's helpful content update from late 2023. And she's also going to take us through a whole host of ways you can use generative AI helpfully to create your SEO content. Spoiler alert, it doesn't mean creating all of it, but we'll talk about that as we get into the interview. So loads of great stuff coming up with today's excellent guest, and she's sharing some unbelievably cool advice when you get through to the insider tips. So make sure you listen to the end so you catch up on those, especially the crystal ball one, which is, I'll be honest, something I didn't know about. So as I often say, I am learning along with you guys in these episodes. So super pleased she brought that up because it's really got me thinking about some strategies for us. So do make sure you stay tuned right to the end. Remarkable Commerce is the UK's most flexible and configurable e-commerce platform, designed specifically for D2C retailers who want to grow their sales quickly. They're trusted by leading retailers like Moss, Ben Sherman, and Roman. Remarkable's key differences are full freedom of your front-end design and full control of which composable modules you wish to use. Very excitingly, they've just released this year's Digital Retail Index, a performance audit of nearly 800 UK retailers, ranking them by key technical metrics. To find out where you're ranked or submit your own site for analysis, go to keepopt.com/remarkable. That's REMARKABLE. So keepopt.com/remarkable for the Digital Retail Index. In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Caroline Shelby. Caroline has been in digital marketing since 1994. Yes, it was a thing even then. Specialising in SEO since 1997. She's now principal SEO at Newfold Digital and Yoast, continuing to develop innovative SEO strategies and focused on enhancing the online visibility and engagement for Newfold Digital's brands. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really pleased to have you on the show. It's awesome to be speaking to someone with your immense SEO caliber. So how on earth did you end up in SEO in 1997?
Well, in 1994, I actually co-founded an internet service provider, which is, I don't know if you remember the AOL days or CompuServe with dial-up internet, but that's what we did. And the web was just becoming publicly available. Web servers didn't exist, like Apache didn't exist. We had to write our own. And as we were developing our business, customers naturally wanted to have a web presence, and our business needed a web presence, and the local newspaper needed a web presence. So I started building websites. And then Yahoo came out and Google eventually came out, and they were starting to rank websites. And I am a very competitive person by nature. So when I saw that there were rankings, I needed to be at the top of the rankings. And that's kind of how I fell into SEO.
So pure needs-based, we're doing this, and we need to appear.
Well, it wasn't just we need to appear, we need to dominate. Because like I said, I'm competitive. And if there's a list and I see people on the list that I don't like, I need to be at the top of the list and they need to be at the bottom.
I've been in the industry for about 20 years, so not as long as you and not in the SEO specialism. But I often get asked the question, has anything really changed in that time span? And I'm like, well, fundamentally, no. Can the same be said of SEO? Is it still fundamentally the same game, or is it really changed over the last, you know, couple of decades?
I think it's matured in some pretty significant ways. You know, the underlying principles and the underlying desires to organize and sort and understand content and then serve up the correct content to the searchers has not changed. What has changed are the search engine's ability to filter out and discern what is like a cheating tactic and what is quality content. Now, they haven't always been great at making those distinctions, and even today, there are problems. You know, it's a dance. They come up with an algorithm to try to serve up good quality results, and people who want to sell stuff figure out a way to game the system to get into that mix of high quality results so that their stuff sells and they make money. And then the search engines say, okay, someone here has figured out our system. We're going to change our system a little bit to try to compensate for this new tactic that the people with bad intentions or selfish intentions are utilizing. It kind of goes back and forth. So the technology and the things that need to be done to ensure that the search engines understand your content properly, fully, and the things that need to be done to make sure that you're not too slow or you have a bad user experience, those have all changed and they've gotten more complex. But the underlying, I would say the fundamentals and the core philosophy of write excellent content, help the user, and offer an excellent user experience, those have not changed. Those were always the goal.
Cool. That makes so much sense. And you mentioned about how it's this kind of game between the SEOs and the search engines and that they're constantly updating. Google did a quite fundamental change late last year. I think it was called the Helpful Content Update. How has that affected content creation for e-commerce brands?
Well, for e-commerce brands specifically, there's this desire. Well, maybe it's not a desire. Maybe it's just born out of, I don't want to say laziness, but it is easier to reuse content that is provided to you by the original manufacturer of the products that you're selling. Sometimes you allow people to write reviews, and if you open up the reviews too freely, you'll get spammers that are contaminating your reviews. So there's a little bit of laziness. There's a little bit of, you know, you're trying to use the reviews, you're trying to game the review system, and that opens up opportunities for pollution. And then there is just, you're over-optimizing or being overly corporate in your speaking, and you're thinking too much about selling to people, and you're thinking not enough about how is what I'm offering helpful to people. So the writing tends to focus on why you should buy the product, not how the product is going to make your life better or how the product is going to solve a problem that you're having. The Helpful Content Update, it's focusing a little bit more on firsthand experience because companies and affiliates and people that are just resellers all tend to use the same content. It's not compelling and it's not necessarily going to be useful to the person who's looking for a new TV or looking for a dress. The Helpful Content Update was designed to make sure that people are finding content that is helpful, not content that is thin, not websites that just slap up 12 million products and are making all their sales in volume rather than in quality.
Some of the listeners are going, oh God, that's so annoying. I've now got so much more work to do. But when I'm hearing that, I'm like, right, so if most of the industry is doing badly, this is a big opportunity to do it well. and to put more helpful content onto the site, to make sure our content is unique, to make sure the reviews that we're promoting are, you know, putting everywhere are the ones which are the most helpful to the consumers, that create that kind of first-hand experience you were talking about, to be, as you put it earlier, compelling and useful. How are you seeing brands take steps to fix this? Is there any key things they need to make sure they're doing?
You need to make sure that your copy all over your site is written with the end user in mind, and a particular end user in mind. You can't sell to everyone. You're selling to people that need your product. You're selling to people that need your service. They have a problem they are trying to solve. Write to them. Address them. You're not addressing the ether. You're not addressing everyone on the planet. You're addressing the people that have a problem that you're going to solve. And use the language that the user is thinking when they think about the problem that they're having. Your opportunity here is to speak in a more focused fashion to directly solve people's problems and make their lives better. You don't want to be too corporate. This is not going out on TV. You don't have to explain to people necessarily what your product is in a generic sense. You just have to explain how it's going to solve their problem. The focus here is being helpful rather than just being explanatory. That's really where your difference is going to be.
Got you. And is that on the homepage, blog posts, product pages, category pages? I assume this is everywhere, but is there a good place to start?
I would say it's everywhere, but specifically if you have products, I would make sure that your product descriptions, your product information, any block of text on your page is not reusing content that was provided to you by someone else. So if you have products that are sold elsewhere by other people, you have to make sure that the description that you've provided is not the same that everyone else is using. It has to be unique. Even if you rewrite it a little bit, even if you use AI to rewrite it a little bit, it has to be different. It cannot be the same. And it should be an opportunity to explain how it's going to help your customer. Presumably, you could sell the same cookie jar to 12,000 different countries, right? But that cookie jar is going to be useful and desirable to certain people for a specific reason. Talk about that. Don't just talk about it's a cookie jar and it holds cookies.
It's one of those changes of method or changes of approach that I think you can explain in a million different ways, but only one of those ways will resonate with each person. So I love that you're kind of coming at it from different angles for us, Carolyn. But you mentioned the buzzword of the moment then. You mentioned AI. And despite what we're talking about with the helpful content update and the need to get more helpful content in there, I think a lot of brands are really considering using AI to kind of automatically create product copy in particular at the moment in e-commerce. Is it something we should be doing? Where's the role for generative AI in SEO at the moment? Sorry, it's just such a huge question.
AI cannot replace people in that it can't spontaneously generate excellent targeted copy by itself without significant human input. So the prompts that are being used to generate the copy are really going to dictate the quality of the output. See, people try to do it at scale. They try to do it in mass, and that's where the problem happens, because you can't necessarily write a prompt that is going to be able to take in all the different variables for all of the different products that you have to write for and come up with excellent copy. If you take individual bits of copy that maybe you've already written and say, can you clean this up for me? Or computer, can you make this copy 2.5% longer and use first person and focus on, you know, product usefulness. That might work, and you can try it for sure, but be prepared to review it with human eyeballs and make sure that you're correcting mistakes, correcting hallucinations. That's what they call it when the AI starts to make things up. Because the AI, to be fair, it's a machine, and it knows based on averages what words typically come next in a sequence. So really all it's doing is it's anticipating what that sentence is going to look like. It doesn't necessarily know the desire and what need this product is going to satisfy unless you tell it, which is where, you know, creative prompt writing comes in. But if you're spending that much time writing a prompt for one product, you might as well actually kind of just write the copy yourself. So AI it's an excellent tool. Let's say you have 1,000 products you have to write for, and they're all kind of similar, but not entirely. That's a good case for AI, because you're going to start repeating things just because your brain is going to get tired. AI can help you by reconfiguring and rewriting and injecting a little bit of variation into your writing so it doesn't all read the same, but the seed that it uses was content that you wrote to begin with. So it's not completely computer generated. Can you completely generate everything with the AI? I don't think it's there yet, and I don't think it's going to be there for quite a while. I think if you're using generative AI to enhance what you're doing and to help you out, if you get in a creative rut or you need some extra ideas or you have the gist of what you want, but you need it to be expanded because you're trying to write 250 words, absolutely use AI for that. Don't try to use AI to replace human beings or do the same task for different products at a great scale, because that's when you're going to start running into, it's going to stop making sense. Even the AI, it's like it gets tired doing things repetitively and it starts to get go a little bit far afield in some of its responses.
I think that's such an interesting way of thinking about it, Karen. I hadn't thought of it before, but the fact you need, it's all in the power of the prompt. And if you're selling, I don't know, lipsticks and cookie jars, you can't possibly use the same prompt to create great copy for both, but you might be able to use the same prompt to create great copy for all your lipsticks or for all your cookie jars, but you're not going to get them both to come together. And I think that makes so much sense. I mean, if you're working for an e-commerce brand right now, would you be kind of like only using AI where you get really stuck, but aiming for humans the great majority of the time?
No, I use AI actually in my daily life a lot, and I don't necessarily use it in the plugins. So Yoast, for example, has a plugin that works with Shopify and works with WordPress and WooCommerce, where it can help you write, you know, your meta titles and your headings, meta descriptions, product descriptions, things like that. I sometimes use that when I'm working with companies, but AI in general, I use personally on a daily basis because it's helpful to me to have, I'm a kind of person that likes to bounce things off people. And I don't always have a person with me to bounce things off of. And AI has become my bounce person. Sometimes I'm stuck and I'm having a hard time getting started with something. And that's like an executive function thing that's really common with people that are, I think the phrase is neurospicy. So for those of us that are neurospicy, we have a hard time just taking that first step. So I will tell AI, like, I need to do this task and I don't know how to start. What information would you need from me to get started in this task? And it will literally start asking me about the task. And then it helps me walk through all the things that I need to do. And it spits out, okay, based on all this information and the time frame and the due date, I would do blah, 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 blah. And it is very helpful to me. I recommend anyone, not just e-commerce marketers, but anyone who needs that kind of assistance plotting out a task, go ahead and use the AI. It's still my work. I'm still doing the work. It's just a sounding board and a little bit of guidance. I could have gotten to that same destination myself, but it would have taken a lot longer. So I guess the short answer is I definitely use AI, and I would definitely recommend that clients use it, because there are situations where you're a little stuck and you just need a little help to get started. And if AI is writing the draft and you're doing the final fixes, it's still your work output. You know, it's not like AI did it for you. It got you started and you finished it. You took it across the finish line.
It is cool how AI is helping in so many ways that you wouldn't have initially anticipated it was going to help. But I think as we'd heard about generative AI, I was like, brilliant, it's going to write all my copy for me. It's pretty much not writing anyone's copy if they've got any sense, as we're kind of talking about, but it is becoming an instrumental part of the content creation process, whether it's helping you get started, as you just outlined so brilliantly, or it's helping you brainstorm ideas, or it's helping you, you know, writing the draft because, you know, you've got white paper fear, you know, blank sheet of paper fear. I find it so fascinating how it's kind of evolving. Carolyn, we've talked around a couple of elements of how we should be both working our content and what we should be changing our content to in 2024. Anything we haven't missed that the audience need to know about creating better content for SEO on an e-commerce website?
Definitely making sure that you're thinking about how your product is going to benefit the user. What questions are people asking about that product that you can answer on your website, in your blog posts, in your content. There are tools available. There's many of them. I don't know if I could go through the list of all of them. In addition to looking at like keyword volume, which I'm sure most marketers do, they'll also show you what questions people ask about a specific keyword. You can also go to Google Trends and see that, and you can isolate it by country. So if you're targeting the UK, you can isolate it to the UK, and I think you can actually isolate it to Cornwall, or you can isolate it to the London metropolitan area. And Google Trends will tell you what questions people ask about a specific topic. You can look at that as a marketer and say, that is a great question. I had no idea people were wondering about that. I'm going to write a blog post, or I'm going to address this question in my writing. So thinking about how are you going to help people's lives, investigate the questions that people ask around your product, anticipate how the user is searching for your product, anticipate how the user is using your product, and make sure that you're writing with all of those things in mind, because it really is about how are we making the searcher's life better? How are we enhancing that? How are we being helpful?
What a brilliant summary. Thank you, Carolyn. It's been great picking your brains about these latest content tips. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Carolyn's insider tips on SEO and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Remarkable Commerce is the UK's most flexible and configurable e-commerce platform, designed specifically for D2C retailers who want to grow their sales quickly. They're trusted by leading retailers like Moss, Ben Sherman, and Roman. Remarkable's key differences are full freedom of your front-end design and full control of which composable modules you wish to use. Very excitingly, they've just released this year's Digital Retail Index, a performance audit of nearly 800 UK retailers, ranking them by key technical metrics. To find out where you're ranked or submit your own site for analysis, go to keepopt.com/remarkable. That's REMARKABLE. So keepopt.com/remarkable for the Digital Retail Index. Okay, Carolyn, so far we've gone deep into the latest content tips for SEO. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with SEO, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Carolyn, are you ready for the insider tips?
I think so. Let's do it.
Cool. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
You have to say the name of the thing that you want people to find and search. And I know that might sound really basic to a lot of people, but you'd be surprised. Think about the way someone is going to search for your product or your content online, and then use the words that you think they're going to search with in your writing. Make sure those words are on the page plainly. That is the biggest guarantee to ensure that you're ending up in the search results in front of people. I mean, that and make sure that you haven't no-indexed your site, because I see people do that all the time too.
Yeah, two big things to remember, and definitely, definitely an obvious one with the wording. It reminds me of back in my agency days where we worked with a business selling maternity wear, and they didn't have the word maternity pretty much anywhere on the website. So, totally understand that one.
I know a guy that worked for one of the automobile review websites back in the day, and they had an article about the Ford Mustang. They didn't say Ford Mustang once on the entire page. They called that car by 12 different slang names, but they didn't say Mustang once, and they could not figure out why they were not ranking for Ford Mustang.
We laugh, but it's so easy to do. So easy to do. I'm now worried about what my websites say, but I'll go worry about that when we finish the podcast. Carolyn, if someone has got started, they then, of course, got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve SEO performance?
My favorite way to improve SEO performance is I go through my rankings. I look at the pages that are doing well, but not awesome. So we call that they're within striking distance of being at the top of the search engine results. The ones that are within striking distance, I circle back, I look at the queries that they're ranking for, and I keep re-optimizing them for those queries so that they go up in the rankings and get onto page one, preferably in the top three. So that's kind of how I decide which pages and which URLs I'm going to focus on with my SEO efforts.
And that's SEO efforts primarily on-site content-based, not external linking-based.
So links are a tricky thing. There are big brands that don't need to worry about links, and then there's a lot of brands that do need to worry about links. I've got the good fortune, especially in the last 10 years or so, of working for companies that didn't really need to worry about their links because they were very established brands. If you are a relatively new business, you do need to worry about your links. And as far as backlinks go, you should be writing helpful content that you can, I won't call it guest posting because guest blogging is like a dirty word, but if you can get into publications, respectable publications, and talk about your product and finagle some backlinks or two, that would be excellent content that you can share outside of your website to help drive customers to your website.
All comes back to the good quality content again, doesn't it? It's the rock. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Actually, at Yoast, we do SEO webinars every month. They are totally free. We have a couple different things that might be of interest. One is the monthly news update that I am a co-host on. We talk about all the latest SEO news and what's changed in the past 30 days, and we discuss how that's going to affect you and your business and what actions you need to take, if any, related to the news. We also have a How to Get Started in SEO podcast that is at least once a month. It might be more than that. But if you go to yoast.com/webinar, you will see all of the things that we've got available, and they're all 100% free.
I love that recommendation. And I think for anyone trying to learn more about SEO, having one expert resource that you pay most of your attention to is really important, because otherwise you can get really confused with what different people are saying. So Yoast is definitely a very good, excellent resource, expert resource even. So loving that recommendation. Thank you, Carolyn. Finally, crystal ball time. Dare we attempt this? What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
So one of the things that's coming up is Google has what they call the SGE, the Search Generative Experience, that they're adding into the search results. And it's primarily available in the US right now, but it will be deployed globally. What it's doing is it kind of answers questions for the user without the user having to go to a website. And this can be a problem because you don't want other people speaking for you. The way it analyzes and chooses what web pages to put in that carousel that it's popping up is using an algorithm that is not at all the same algorithm that the main search results are using. So if you get access to SGE and you can look at your search terms, do searches that you think users would be doing for yourself and see what comes up. Look at that, try to figure out, especially if you're not in the results, try to figure out what the commonality is between the things that are in the results, and then make sure that you've done something to your website so that you get into that mix. I did some tests recently and I noticed that it was being very literal in the headings and the meta title and the meta description. So if certain words weren't prominently at the beginning of the H1 kind of thing, it just wouldn't include that. And that was causing a brand that I was working on to not pop up for its own name, which was really freaking me out. I got it fixed. It's okay. But this is being tested in the US, and I guarantee in the next 6 to 12 months, it will be rolled out globally. So for those of you that are not in the US, you know, gird your loins. It's coming.
Definitely one to look out for. Thank you so much for that. Carolyn, we are nearly at the end of the show. So could you please let listeners know where they can find you and your business?
So Yoast is yoast.com. Newfold Digital has many brands that would be happy to help you with things. So if you wanted to see a list of all of our brands, you could go to newfold.com. And I am on Twitter, X. I'm at Seashell, C-S-H-E-L, which is C for Carolyn and S-H-E-L for Shelby.
Easy as that, everybody. Carolyn, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's lovely hearing your practical, sensible advice about creating content for sites. Really brilliant. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So two big things for your content creation or content amendment to-do list there, everybody. First of all, make your content helpful. Get really focused in on who your customer is and make the content useful to them, because that is what Google is currently looking for. Secondly, find the right way to use AI to help you with your content creation. It's probably not doing everything, but it could be hugely instrumental in one of those many ways that Carolyn just took us through. So there's clever ways to use it, but it's probably not the whole thing. And then that part about the search generative experience, absolutely fascinating. I double checked with Carolyn after we finished recording, and it is running on the Gemini/Bard, I keep wanting to call Bard Baird, Bard algorithm. So it's super interesting one. Definitely one to be playing around with if you're stateside. If you're not stateside, it's coming. So we shall see what state it's in by the time it gets to us, because of course I'm sure it will have evolved by the time it does. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct to episode short link. That's keepopt.com/the number of the episode. Put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page of the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the many other things I share to help you improve your business. Well, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. This is the first of our SEO episodes, so we've got more of them coming up for you this month. If you want more on SEO, you can scroll back up your feed and you'll find plenty of it, or you can go to keepopt.com/SEO. But building on what we were just chatting to Carolyn about, and how you work out what's important to your customer and how you speak to your customer in the way that the helpful content update is going to appreciate, I highly recommend having a listen to the recent series of episodes we did on story and storytelling, because the research outlined there, the ways of writing, the ways of creating will be super helpful to you, as will the episode we did specifically on product pages with the brilliant copywriter Amy. So scroll back up your feed to the ones that have got the word story at the start, or go to keepopt.com/story to find all of that. Have a brilliant week. Make sure you listen to the next episode and do spread the word, because we want to help more people with this show. So do that so I can help all of you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Get your copy of Remarkable's latest digital retail index now, a performance audit of nearly 800 UK retailers, ranking them by key technical metrics. Find out your ranking or submit your site for analysis at keepopt.com/remarkable. That's REMARKABLE. So keepopt.com/remarkable for the digital retail index.